right here, right now, life is revealing itself to itself. It's revealing itself to the entirety of its being, to one and all, to us. It's revealing itself as us. And as it does this, it is continually impelling us to reflect that revelation, to reflect that which it is bringing forth anew. It is continually urging us to derive our input solely from itself, solely from life, urging us to live in the timelessness of its being, to live in that focused internal place in which we are free of time, continually urging us to be in the spacelessness of its omnipresent here, to live in that non-local continuum in which here is everywhere and everywhere is here, urging us to be one with its principle, one with the principle of life, interpreting our existence through its science. It is urging us and impelling us to go the way of life, to spontaneously progress, to mutate, to transform, to spiral with its ongoing progressions, to be forever new. It is urging us to be as it is, forever new, urging us to live as it intends for us to live, to be as it ordains us to be. Are we? Are we following its directive? Are we following its impulsion? How are we experiencing life? That is the issue. That is the question. If for whatever reason we believe ourselves to have been expelled from life's kingdom, if for whatever reason we believe that we have lost our consciousness of life, that we've retrogressed to a state of mortality where we continuously misinterpret life, experiencing life through the guise of space-time causality, then we are not experiencing life as we are ordained to experience life. Thereby, should that be the case, should it be that place in which we inadvertently find ourselves, we must do everything within our power to let go of this inadvertent belief in severance and separation and reunite with that life, truly receive our input from life and from no other source. It is the dilemma of the human condition, the dilemma to which all of us, in which all of us experience to a greater or lesser degree the qualities of life. But we can experience life as we are meant to. We can take a scientific journey and experience life the way life intends us to. In our journey through life today, we have seen that we can take a metaphysical stance, a metaphysical perspective, or a scientific stance, a scientific perspective. And through our journey today, we have taken both perspectives. The metaphysical perspective being that perspective in which we have inquired into life, investigated life, tried to understand the various attributes and characteristics of life, in which we have desired with all our heart to be one with life, to be one with that sevenfold life. And that is good. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that perspective. It is a good perspective. It is a necessary perspective. For it is that perspective which will lead us ultimately back to life. The point is, we cannot stop there. We cannot stay there in metaphysics or in inquiry. Though study is wonderful and inquiry is necessary, and pondering those attributes of life is absolutely essential, we cannot just stay there. We must move forward. We must move and transit to that position of science, capital S, that position in which we come out from life. And that is the test. That is the wonderful opportunity, really, that we have. And in order to take this opportunity and be able to avail ourselves of that life to which we are truly intended, we must absolutely leave the intellect behind. And we must gather up those wonderful qualities that life is revealing to us all the time, and rediscover those on an intuitive, momentary basis. We must let life speak within us. We must let it reveal within us. We must let life build a tone within us. So there is a very practical aspect to everything that we have focused upon today. And that practical aspect is how this is going to impact our life, how it is going to take us from where we are in consciousness about life this instant and bring us to the point where we are absolutely, totally, and completely one with life and are completely conscious of the fact that we have never left the womb of life. To that end, we must take those wonderful concepts that we have gathered, and we must enable those concepts to become a living tone within us. And the best, most effective method that I have found, for myself at any rate, is to flow those attributes of life. Or, for instance, when our focus was on the entire model of being, to flow all of the laws that make up that model of being. And obviously, as everyone knows, this has been a great part of the focus of my attention ever since those laws were presented to us by Max Kepler so long ago. Thereby, whether we are focusing on law or, in this instance, the law of life, we must keep it so warm in our focus that it fills our entire being. We must flow with its attributes until they just ring within us, until they ring within us to the point where they become our consciousness. Where they actually become our consciousness. And we must be so conscious of life, so conscious of the sevenfold character and essence of life, that before we realize it, it is our very being. We cannot and must not sidestep the rest of this great journey. We must not let our love of life, our love of science, be stilted by keeping it frozen in the intellect. We must take those amazing and wonderful and revealed qualities of life and love them, nurture them, cherish them, keep them warm, keep them flowing. At first, we may have to just look down at a piece of paper and pick up those qualities and ponder them and nurture them and ask within ourselves, what does this really mean? What does this really mean? What is life really saying about itself here in this place? But the more we do that, the warmer we keep that, the more we focus upon that, the more those attributes will begin to be us, the more the tone will ring within us, and that tone become our consciousness, and that consciousness become our being. We truly will discover ourselves to be as life is. For that purpose, I have included within the books that you have in front of you, and you can turn your pages beyond the text of life that we have just gone through to the next section called Exploring the Character of Life. And in these next four pages, I have taken the essence of the sevenfold characteristics of life and just listed them, that which each one emphasizes and those qualities that one needs to see through and eradicate that are the counterfeit of that particular quality or place value. So, for example, you will see in the mind of life that I have put that we must emphasize the intelligence of life, the intelligence of being, the self-generating well of life, the self-generating well of being, the self-generating capacity of life, the conceptualization of life, the informational encoding of life, the program of life, the fundamental building blocks of life, the cause of life, the causal law of life, the creative energization of life. I've listed them because it is much easier to look down when one is flowing, when one is trying to get an inner sense of a place value. It is much easier to pick up a quality that belongs to that place value than it is to reread a text that has those qualities embedded within it. And the same being, if something comes forth in our life that is a counterfeit of one of these qualities, is a counterfeit, for instance, in this instance, of the mind of life, then it will be very easy for me to identify it, because I can see in this little list here that I need to eradicate the veils that shroud life, my life, being, existence. I need to eradicate ultimately the mythology of material creation, the mythology that surrounds life. I need to eradicate genetic or morphogenetic encoding, that which I believe is encoding my life, but truly has never actually encoded my life. To eradicate the misconceptions of life, the deceptions of life, the caricatures and aberrations of life. So you can see that these lists here are very practical. They're practical if we want to just sit down and flow with life, flow with all seven characteristics of life, or flow with just one characteristic of life, in this instance, the mind of life. They are also very practical in that we can see what that overturns. We can see what that transforms and dissolves within our life. We can do that by focusing on the positive and letting it overturn the counterfeit, or we can see by practical implication those qualities that are playing out in our life that are the counterfeit of the qualities in this instance of the mind of life, realize thereby that we need to focus on the mind of life. For instance, if we are handling a belief that is genetically predisposed within us or morphogenetically predisposed within us, we instantly know that we need to go to the mind of life. And we need to focus on those positive characteristics of the mind of life. And we need to not only ponder those characteristics, but let them build within us until they are just a tone that sings within us so that we are very, very clear within our very inner being that we are divinely encoded. And that the building blocks of life, the building blocks of being, are the building blocks of our being, and that we have no other building blocks, and that we don't need to accede to any other encoding, and we don't need to let it have power in our life. Vitally, vitally, vitally important. And that is the way that one can use these characteristics. That is the way that one can look down at these four little sheets of paper here, pick up the characteristics of life, the mind of life, the spirit of life, the soul of life, the principle, life, truth, and love of life, and let those characteristics, either by the positive or the negative sense, the positive sense of that which they are, the negative sense of that which needs to be dispelled, that which needs to fall away within us, be very, very clear in our consciousness. It's almost like a roadmap, one could say. For example, if I'm traveling through my life experience and something comes up in my life experience and I'm not exactly sure where to turn, to what aspect of life to turn, in this instance, since we're focusing on life, we have to restrict what we're saying to life. But I would do it the same way. I would have a little roadmap here. So, for example, if I find that I'm in a very constricted or frustrated sense of life, if I find that the time-space continuum is choking me, or I seem to be handling animal magnetism of some sort, gravitational sense of life, an electromagnetic sense of life, if I feel that I'm just hearing morphic recordings in life, that I'm living in a very constricted morphic field of life, I can see immediately here that those are the counterfeit characteristics of the soul of life. And by seeing that, it is very simple that I know that I'm handling that, and thereby that I need to focus upon and soar within the limitlessness of life, the boundless capacity of life, the spacelessness of life, the real non-local field of life, the uncompromising presence of life, the stability of life, that transcendent state of life, the fact that life is truly incorporeal, that it is immortal. Then I will begin to sense the resurrection of my life out of this constricted local sense of life into that unbounded, unrestricted, non-local sense of life. And that very frustrated sense of life that I have held will then be understood within me, and thereby I will start to experience a very blissful sense of life. And that is how you can use these pages. And I have used similar things myself, and I have found them extremely effective, whether I'm coming just from the positive sense of that which life is through its sevenfold nature, or from the counterfeit sense of that which it would appear that life is, but is not. Following these lists, you will find another section. That section is entitled Exercises extrapolated from the text for the purpose of culturing our understanding of life. The exercises, I think, for the most part, are self-explanatory, but I have put at least one exercise for each of the characteristics of life in here. I have put three for principle, two, the principle of life, of course, and two for the love of life. I would like to make clear that these are not the only exercises that can be extrapolated from the text, and I encourage you, as you work with the text and as you work with the characteristics of the text, to let it reveal for you new exercises. An exercise is only good if it doesn't become rote. If something becomes rote, it is static, and if it is static, it is dead. It doesn't have a true sense of life that it is going to bring something to birth within you. So there is a way in which we need to work with these exercises, a way in which they will develop for us and they will ring within us and they will help us to gain the tonality that we desire, and will not curb that tonality by encouraging us to rehearse life from a rote perspective. And that would be true, of course, even if you're talking about going over the text. Never would we want to go over the text that I provided here, or these exercises, or Science and Health for that matter, or any spiritual text from a standpoint of rote, from a standpoint of, say, of just repeating and repeating over and over that which has been written and memorizing it and letting it sit tight in the intellect. Always the purpose of going through a text again or going through an exercise again is to let that text or let those exercises reveal something new, a deeper insight, a deeper tone, a deeper sense of understanding of whatever it is that we are tonalizing with, that we are, back in the text, pondering. And so that is what we need to do if we are going to work with these exercises that I have put in here. And again, I would like to reiterate, please don't be glued to these specific exercises. They only give you a way in which the text can be put into exercise form in order to flow it more coherently and more fluidly than just rehearsing text over and over. So let's just take one of them as an example. Let's take life is spirit. It says, all exists in an eternal, timeless now. Therefore, nothing in me, in we, in all. And you can do it any of those ways. You can do it the whole thing just using me. You can do the whole thing using we. You can do the whole thing using all. You can do the whole thing using all of it combined. I have done it here just to give you example. And then I've given you a sevenfold flow there. So nothing in me desires to look back. And that's the whole thing with life is spirit, right? That it's timeless. But I have to get that point across to my inner being, across to my inner consciousness. So therefore, I am reiterating in one way or another to myself that nothing in me desires to look back, that nothing in me desires to focus on that which has seemed to come before, that nothing in me is resonating with that which seemed to come before, that nothing in me is aligning with that which seemed to come before, that nothing within me is living in the past, that nothing in me is conforming to the past or patterning itself in accordance with the past. This is just a deep affirmation. This is like Mrs. Eddy saying, yay, yay, nay, nay. So we are saying here, we're using this as an exercise really to say, nothing in my being truly is tempted to live in time. Everything in my being is living in the timelessness of the eternal now. Thereby, everything in me I have here desires the now, the present, timelessness. Everything in me, or we are all, of course, focuses in the now, resonates in the now, centers in the now, lives in the now, forms in the now, patterns itself in the now. And just take that on and just affirm that within one's inner being. It is very, very effective. I cannot tell you how long I lived with this sense, the entire time that life is spirit was revealing itself to me and those around me, and we were working with that. We worked with exercises similar to this to just build that tone within our being, that everything in us was truly desiring and focusing and resonating and centering and living and forming and patterning in the now, not in the past or in the future, but in the ever-present eternal now, not in time, but in timelessness. That we were open to new ideas and new information, open and receptive and adaptive to new attachments, and not even to attachments, but to the new flow. Open to the new and enriched sense of life. Open to the way it was reorganizing itself and the way it was restructuring itself. Open to the way that life was being new, to the new expressiveness that was forming in our life. Open to the new forms it was taking. Open to the new patterns that it was creating in our life experience. So this isn't just something that you're sitting in a chair flowing and rehearsing and so forth. This exercise is just something that you're living with on a daily basis, observing in your life, letting it alter the mode of your life, letting it take you from past and future to timelessness, letting it reprogram your very being. So I have here, nothing in me or we or all is programmed by the past or programs the future, but let life, the mind of life, program us. Everything in us is not clinging to the past or to a self-created future. It is focused in the present. It is not psychically embodying the past or projecting into the future. It is absolutely embodying the present now. It is not controlled by the past or controlled by the future, but is controlled by the principle of life that keeps us in the present, that keeps us in the timelessness of now. That life is spirit is impelling us not to live in the past, not to live in the future, but to live, absolutely live in the now. That we cannot be stuck in a past paradigm of consciousness of life or project into a future paradigm of life, but truly live in the consciousness of the now. That we cannot reject nowness, but we are accepting the nowness of life. And that is a wonderful example of how we can take this exercise or any of the exercises and make them work for us. Let them absolutely build a tone of life within us.